CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Don't put it in your mouth. Put it in your ear.
Ick! Don't you put it in your mouth. Till you ask someone you love. That's right, sis. If it's okay to eat. If it's okay to eat.
You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and your mind miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old past said. Boy, you got a friend in me. Yeah, you got a friend in me.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Community Living Show that is broadcast through the National Campus and Radio Association Networks, and also known as the NCRA Radio Networks. We are joined by two of the Vancouver studios on our flagship stations. One is for the full hour on CITR 101.9 FM. You can stream us online at citr.ca. We're also on all devices as well on there. We're on Apple TV. We're on, I believe, mostly a lot of podcasts on Apple as well, especially the podcasts as well. So check us out. And, of course, we're also on the email address, communitylivingradio@gmail.com. If you have any questions about our show and stuff, that's our email address, communitylivingradio@gmail.com. All right, Ben Rimpey, and, of course, we're also on the other station, Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM is our half-hour show. And hopefully Ben will be here in just a few moments. Right now we're going to play you a little bit of the Autism Live that was broadcast yesterday, November 9th. What is Autism Live? Autism Live is a production of the Center for Autism and Related Disorders, known as CARD. And if you want to join their free newsletter, go to www.autismlive.com. And if you want more information about what they do for CARD, go to centerforautism.com. All right, we're not going to play it all, but we'll give you a sample of their Autism Live as of November 9th, yesterday.
The advice and opinions expressed by the host of Autism Live and her guests are meant solely as suggestion and should not be in any way construed as child-specific advice. The Center for Autism and Related Disorders advises working with a board-certified behavior analyst who has experience with autism before starting any intensive behavioral intervention. Any choices you make in determining your child's treatment are completely at your own discretion.
Little music of the intro. End title.
Good morning and welcome to Autism Live. I'm Shannon Penrod and we're coming to you live from the Warner Center. This is the home for Autism Live. It is also the home for the Center for Autism and Related Disorders. We are going to be with you live for the next 2 hours talking about autism from a 360-degree perspective. Of course, as many of you around the world watched last night, we had events take place here, and I'm sure that we will touch on that subject because it affects all of us around the world and it affects autism. We will continue to report on how that will affect autism as we begin to understand that in the coming days. But as always, there is work to be done. There are things to be done, you know, perhaps more now than ever. We will trudge on because that is what we do. And that is what we do today, right? And we have a great show planned for you today where we're going to answer real people's questions in real time to talk about how we can be productive, because that's what you do. So I want to welcome all of you here. And I want to welcome your questions. We are going to start in just a few minutes. We have Dr. Doreen Grampiche here with us, really the preeminent expert in autism and a visionary in the field of autism. There's nobody I'd rather be in a room with this morning than with her. She's going to be answering your questions live in just a few minutes in that segment that we call Ask Dr. Doreen. A little bit later on in the program, how great is this? We've got licensed marriage and family therapist Vince Redman is going to be joining us to help us all to know how to language things for our kids and to talk about, you know, because more than 50% of the country here is not happy with the outcome. Roughly 50% is. And so we all have to learn how to deal with all of those emotions and move on and how we language these things to our kids. Get through it, right? So Vince is going to be here with us talking about that. We also have Kathy Gott, who's going to be here with us talking about Etta, and she's also going to talk about a project that she's been working on for a really long time, Danny's Farm. So she's going to be here with Nancy and I during Let's Talk Autism with Shannon and Nancy. So a lot to do, a lot to talk about. I want to remind you, though, that as always, this program is meant to be interactive. You can share whatever you think and feel, any questions that you have. In fact, Samantha is going to show you some of the different ways that you can participate here with us in the show. While she does that, I want to remind you that our homepage is autism-live.com. Lots of things to do there, but I think most importantly, if you click on the triangle that is on the computer screen, you can be watching the live show or the most recently recorded live show. If you want to go back further into the archives, you can click on the little memo tab that's in the upper left-hand corner. If you want to go further back than the 100 most recent episodes, we really want to encourage you to check out our very consumable videos that are on YouTube, iTunes, Roku, and Stitcher. They are all free to you in all of those locations. But to the side of the computer screen on our homepage is something that we call the live feature. If you will put your cursor in the box that says your question, you type, hit enter, and it will show up here on my screen. And in that way, you and I can have a conversation. But as I always say, ever so much more important than that is that you can have a conversation with our experts, including Dr. Doreen Grampiche. So my friends, why not get started with one of the best parts of the week? It's time for Ask Dr. Doreen.
Dr. Doreen Grampiche is the
Dr. Doreen is an expert in autism.
Doreen Grampiche.
Dr. Grampiche.
Dr. Doreen Grampiche.
Dr. Doreen Grampiche is a visionary in the field of autism. Now you can ask her questions on Ask Dr. Doreen. Good morning and welcome to Ask Dr. Doreen. Dr. Doreen Grampiche is here with us looking particularly lovely this morning.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being here.
We're
thrilled to have you here. I mentioned before the start of the show that you are the preeminent expert in the field of autism, having worked in this field for more than 30 years, three decades, and worked with individuals from all ages of the spectrum, really in all corners of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, but you are a visionary in this field. If there was ever a time when we needed you, we need you now.
Thank you.
To let us know what's coming. Because I think one of the hardest things for people is not knowing what's coming. So we want to dive right in today and talk about some of the questions that people have written in. You guys can continue to write your questions in. I want to remind you, though, that there is no expert that could give individual specific advice in this particular format, right? That would be a disservice to the person on the spectrum to think that you could write in a short question
right.
and that somebody could give individual specific advice. So having said that, though, it's wonderful to have a resource like this where you can write in for free anonymously and ask your question and get ideas and ideas for directions that you want to go into of where to go next. So we thank Dr. Grampiche so much for being here to do that.
It's a pleasure.
I want to start with two questions that I believe were written in by the same person, so I lumped them together. Do autistic kids feel uncomfortable if kids stare and make fun of them in the classroom, and do autistic kids feel uncomfortable or embarrassed when general ed kids stare and make fun of them?
So, you know, I guess the answer to that is that it depends on the level of comprehension of the child with autism. You know, I have children on the spectrum who are very, very much in their own world and not really aware of much that's going on around them. If autism has hit you pretty severely, then it's likely that you will be kind of stimulating your own brain by doing a variety of self-stimulatory behaviors. And when you are engaging in self-stimulatory behaviors, you really are not aware of what's going on around you. So if the child's functioning level is at that level, I would say they probably do not realize what's going on around them and if other children are laughing at them. If it's a child who is in a general ed class, I assume that the child's functioning level is such that they are aware of what's going on, in which case, yes, they do get embarrassed and uncomfortable. They might not experience embarrassment, but they will definitely experience sadness. If it is a child who if others are bullying the child, then our child will definitely feel sadness and fear. If others are laughing at our child in a abstract way, then it's possible that our child might think they're laughing with him or her. In other words, it's possible that our child might think, oh, I must have done something funny, and not realize that they're making fun of our child. So, you know, it's hard to answer these questions, because I don't know the child in particular. But if you have a child in a classroom and the other children are actually making fun of or staring at the child, staring is a different thing. You have to realize that typically developing kids are curious as well, and they kind of want to know what autism is about or what makes, whenever somebody's different, they're curious. So it's hard for them to not stare. They just sort of want to know what it's about. But making fun is a little bit further, and it has a little bit of malicious intent, whereas staring might not. Either way, I would really take this seriously, and I would definitely speak to the teacher. I would speak to the principal. If they have someone who does resource, if they have someone who's board certified in behavior analysis or understands autism a little bit better, maybe a psychologist on staff, a school psychologist, a counselor, the autism resource director, people like that would easily be able to come in and do a training for the other children, explaining what autism is about, explaining how they can help. You know, honestly, with this generation, Shannon, of kids, I found that there's a desire to do good, and I think that if we're able to teach them how they can help this child, that you could turn it around. I don't think in general, I think that kids are easily diverted away from bullying. It's just a matter of someone actually talking to them and making them understand what's going on.
You know, I absolutely...
All right, we're going to leave it there for just a moment. Again, that's just only for example that we've done. So we're going to, you can always sign up for the free newsletter at www.autismlive.com and follow the links. Of course, that was the Autism Live. It's a production of Center for Autism Related Disorders, or known as CARD, headquartered at Woodland Hills, California, with offices throughout the United States and around the globe. For more information about CARD, visit centerforautism.com. Hello, Ben.
Hello there, listeners.
Yes, so you tune into the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. And Ben, tell us what you're here.
Sorry it took so long to get over here.
Mostly traffic, right?
The traffic was just really bad.
Okay.
So basically what we're going to do first, before we have my guest coming on the air, We're going to play one of his songs, and it's called Letter to the Thief. And I have his little stick here for you.
All right. Just let me put that in there.
It's like a little USB that that he's done. And by looking at it, it looks like a little guitar.
Yeah, a little model guitar or something.
Yeah, which is really interesting.
All right.
And he has a show coming up, but I'll let him say that.
Okay, so the song is called Letter...
Letter to the Thief.
Letter
to a Thief. That's what it's
All right, I'm just writing down notes. Okay, so where? So where do I put? Where do I go in? To
If you can't find it, it should be under his YouTube as well.
Yeah, but I'm on the drive. You see? having a little difficulties here.
Zulu Panda.
Zulu. Okay, two-way street. Okay.
That's the title of the track. It's called Two-Way Street.
Yes. Okay, here we go. So we got it. All right, so we're going to play right now. Hopefully it... Nope. Oh, whoa. Sorry about this, folks.
Give us a minute here.
We're having some bit of technical difficulties
here. If you
here.
Can't find it, it should be on his YouTube as well. He has a YouTube page.
I'm sorry, Ben.
If you can't do it on his little stick, but he has it on the YouTube page as well, yes. YouTube site.
Yeah, so you can check on that as well. Ooh, dee doo dee doo.
So, what else is new with you? Because I haven't talked to you for quite a while.
Ben's here. Or not Ben. One of the artists. Who's the artist?
Zulu Panda.
Yeah, but what?
Hey, everyone. How's it going?
Oh, hey, Wes. How are you?
There you go.
Good. Yeah, I didn't know I was going there. That's cool.
We're trying to use your little stick that you have for the guitar one, and it's not working.
Mm. Oh, okay. Well, I apologize about that. Well, if you go to soundcloud.com/ZuluPanda, that's a great place to start.
Or is it on YouTube as well?
Yes, it is. YouTube.com. If you search Zulu Panda, that would be great as well.
All right. I think we've got it.
We've got it, Wes.
3 minutes and 11.
Yeah.
All right.
Can you, sorry for interruption, but Wes, can you explain what this song's about?
Sure. So my album, Two-Way Street, Not War, has four tracks on it. And Letter to a Thief is one of my personal favorites from the album. It's about frustration and conflict, and more specifically about saying goodbye to somebody taking advantage of you. It's a really fun song. It's very rock and roll.
Okay, so we're going to play it now, and we will come right back. All right?
Great.
All right. You're tuned into the Community Living Show. This is Zulu Panda.
Sleep.
you're Dr. Jekyll, the next you're Hyde. You break out into rage and jealousy. There's no future here, no remedy. Nothing you could say would change my mind. Some days I wanna simply press rewind. Forget about the days we put behind us. Let's just go our separate ways this time.
Global Accessibility Awareness Day is on the third Thursday of May of every year. The community and campus stations across Canada are hosting inclusive radio about accessibility, self-advocacy, adapted technology, and more. Contact your local stations to find out more.
It's the biggest musical competition in the country.
CITR is hosting our 33rd annual Shindig. It's a battle of the bands at Pat's Pub every Tuesday night.
We've curated 27 rad bands to compete for the title.
Who will take the crown from last year's winners late spring? Come to find out. Fun fact, at this year's Shindig, there'll be fun facts for beers.
Thanks to this year's sponsors, AMS Events, Backline Musician Services, Canadian Music Week, Discorder, Fader Master Studios, Rain City Recorders, Mint Records, Music Waste, Nimbus Recording, Thunderbird Radio Hell, Sixcent Press, Silver Fox Postering, Band Merch Canada, Blue Light Studios, Zulu Records, Fernie Brewing, and Print Print.
Come out to Shindig this Tuesday, November 15th to see Pocket Milk, Crumb, and Devours.
The UBC Women in Science Club provides support for female undergraduates in science fields. Our club has three pillars: mentorship, building community, and connecting people. We offer networking events with alumni, professional development workshops, as well as an ongoing mentorship program to support students through challenges that arise for women pursuing careers in science.
All right, you tune into the Community Living Show on the National Campus RIN Radio Association Networks. That's the NCRE Radio Networks. Broadcasting from Vancouver, both on two stations, Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM. That's the half-hour show. The full-hour show is CITR 101.9 FM. Stream online, CITR.ca or cooperadio.org. Kelly Rayburn here, along with Ben. Sorry. Hey, Ben.
Hey, Kelly.
I always think it's Michael, but it's not Michael.
No, Michael's sick today.
Michael has the bad flu.
Oh, no.
We wish him well and speedy recovery. So,
Mr. Zulu Panda, you there?
Yes, I am.
Awesome.
Thanks, Kelly and Ben, for having me on the show today.
You're welcome.
Oh, you're very welcome, buddy. Anytime.
Yeah. Great.
So, I got some questions here for you.
Sounds great.
First things first, what inspired you to play music?
I started out just supporting friends and bands, and then I got more into it as time went on. I really like being creative, and it was another outlet that let me express myself. So, you know, when I was a teenager getting out there, I wanted to express myself, and so music was a good outlet for that.
And what age did you start playing the guitar?
Well, I guess I started when I was about 16, but I probably got more serious about it in my 20s, in my university time. So, yeah.
Can you give us just a little background about your music and what day you released your album as well?
Sure. So, again, my stage name is Zulu Panda. I live in Vancouver, but originally I'm from Victoria. I'm a singer-songwriter, and I play indie rock folk music. I play all around Vancouver, and I've toured Canada and the U.S., and I released a new album this year online and on a custom guitar-shaped wooden USB stick, it has four awesome tracks. It can be found at zulupanda.bandcamp.com or pretty much anywhere where music is sold online. It's a passionate singer-songwriter album with lots of good heavy guitar, piano, and some moody storytelling lyrics. So that's a bit about me.
Sweet. How long did you play the guitar?
I guess it's been 10-odd years now, so.
Yeah, it's like same long as me then, hey?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, Ben and I met because we both went to the same open mics, and when I didn't know anybody in Vancouver 3 or 4 years ago now, it was nice to see a friendly face and, reach out to the community.
Yeah, because I've been supporting Mr. Zulu Panda about his music, where he can play his music, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Do you have any... Sorry for interruption. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Ben's been a big support, so...
Do you have any websites or anything that people can contact you at?
Of course. So, obviously, zulupanda.bandcamp.com is the best place you can get my music. But if you want to know more about me, you can go to zulupanda.com. It's pretty straightforward. I just revamped our website. So.
And I believe you have SoundCloud too, don't you?
Yep, soundcloud.com/ZuluPanda.
And Instagram?
Instagram, Zulu_Panda. And I believe it's the same thing for Twitter. So.
Wow. You're just a real good guy.
we try to get out there, Social media is a big part of it.
Yeah.
I like reaching out and meeting new people. You know, it's the best way we can get out to promote things. For instance, we have a show tomorrow, Friday, at the Hindenburg at 23 Cordova, or West Cordova in Gastown. And, the fact that we've been talking about it online has gotten a lot of attention, and we're really excited to play that show. So,
we're too are on Instagram as well, Community Living Radio. Check us out as well. So,
yeah.
Basically, before we go, but I just want to ask you, I just fucking ask you that same question, but is there a cover charge, to get in?
Yeah, I believe it's $10. It's a great lineup. Sister Says, Fortune Killers from Victoria, myself, with a full band, and then, Cassandra Bangle, who's an amazing act as well. It'll be a really good show. And should be a pretty good crowd. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for having you on, on the radio and talking to us and giving us, information, where you've been playing around town, your music and for your music and stuff. Can you give us our last song that you want a request from your debut album?
Oh, why don't you play, Chinatown Purgatory? That sounds like a great one. That song is about my old apartment in Victoria.
Okay, can you, for our listeners, can you just give us what the song is?
What the song is? It's a fun little song about my old life in Victoria, and it's inspired by some of my greatest heartaches, you could say.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the radio again, once again. Listeners, this is Zulu Panda. If you guys are interested of going to see him live tomorrow night at the Full, with his Full band, come on out. Give him a support. It's $10 at the door.
Yep, for the Hindenburg.
At the Hindenburg. What was the address again to our listeners?
23 West Cordova.
Hmm.
Okay, that's pretty easy to get to.
Yep, in Gastown.
Yep.
It's so easy.
Yeah.
It's close to where the old co-op radio is on the corner of Hastings and Cordova.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Around that area, so.
Yeah, it's very close by. Well, thank you so much, Wes, for coming on, buddy.
No, thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Yeah, yeah, you too. Nice talking to you, buddy.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, that was Zulu Panda.
That was my good friend, Zulu Panda, and he's been playing for quite a long time, and I'm glad I got him on. So as Kelly is finding the song, won't take a lot long.
What was the song?
It's called Chinatown.
Chinatown. All right.
So basically, for my next guest, I'll be coming up on December the 8th, which is Shane Simpson. I've been communicating with assistant.
Yes.
And we're communicating back and forth and trying to arrange it with him and see what his schedule is like. So he's going to be calling in on December the 8th.
All right.
So it's going to be good.
For those of you listening to us on Co-op Radio, we are going to have to say goodbye to you now. And we'll see you all next week. And, of course, we'll leave you with Zulu Panda in the song Chinatown Pierogi. For everybody else, we will be back in just a moment.
That flew like days, the time I spent in Chinatown. Wish I could say it was Dorian Gray, but in truth I felt more Kurt Cobain. Living it up just to let you down. Spent 4 years drifting through the pain like a river Styx in the pouring rain, and all the while waiting for her. Now I know my heart ain't no Fort Knox, but she found a way, she broke the locks, and how it went down. All of her Chinatown purgatory had your hold on me for so long. Chinatown purgatory, it's time to set me free. So go on. I won't ask for the open seas, a chest of gold. Ain't no sense in going back. Sure, there were some good old times with the pints of gin and bottles of wine, but now it's time to get on track. Chinatown, purgatory. Regrets in my mind. Know she's right when she says to let it go. Maybe I'm just a noble fool, but I just live by a simple rule. You wanna ride the river, you gotta let it flow. Chinatown, purgatory, you've had your hold on. Hold on me for so long.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Nisiyam, Nisiyaya, Thikum Queen Ansem, Hydra CM, Nisiyam, Nisiyaya, Anthasyakuya, Talitin, Homasque Mustayo.
All right, you tune in to the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. We're doing the full hour show now. Kelly Rayburn along with Ben.
Hello, everybody.
I was going to put in something on the Facebook page, but seems as though I can't seem to find it.
Why is that?
Well, because the other day I was listening, and I wouldn't say listening, I was watching one of my shows that I do on Access Television, where I was doing the interview with Adrian Dix. You've heard of Adrian Dix?
Of course I've heard Adrian Dix.
Okay, Adrian Dix, if anybody does. Adrian Dix is the MLA for Vancouver Kingsway. I did the interview on public schools, mostly.
Oh, wow.
Three schools that are closed. One of them is Gladstone, the other one's Carleton Elementary School. I can't remember the third one, but all of those...
I believe it was Norquay, wasn't it?
Maybe. I don't remember. But I only know the other two. Gladstone was going to be closed down, and Carleton was going to be closed down. So I did an interview with Adrian Dix, but so far I haven't seen it anywhere on YouTube. So I'll just have to... go to, well, of course, you can always check it under accesstelevision.ca because they always have...
They always posted videos up on on the website. So as I was talking to... As I was talking to Kelly when we listened to my good friend Zulu Panda, I'm not going to give his real name out because he will not like it.
You just had his first name on the air.
Oh, yeah, but I didn't give his last name.
So. I know.
Which is very polite of me.
Yeah.
So basically, I was talking to Kelly earlier, and the another TV show on Shaw Network, if you guys have it, is, it's just right tip of my tongue, Sound Therapy TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I got an email just recently from her. And she wants my whole biography of the next music that's going to be doing. I'll be doing it in the new year through Sound Therapy TV.
Mm.
So,
sound therapy kind of thing.
Yeah. So basically, I have to wait now till she responds.
Oh, okay.
So for our listeners, well, definitely from my side, I'll keep you guys posted, and I'll let you guys know what. What's going on?
Sounds interesting. Well, I do have a little thing that was happening in October, but I don't know if I played it or not, but I'll play it again. This one was the, I was doing an interview with Tim Lewis on the discussion on accessibility issues on SkyTrain fare gates and the Compass Card and Handy Dart. So have a listen, and we will be back in a moment.
Sustainable to fight against these. Speaking of survivors, the Survivors Totem Pole Project is coming to fruition, and it will be mounted on the 5th of
November. Sorry, I got it all wrong on the bookmark, so my apologies.
Elders and drums. And this is to stand in visible resistance to the systemic racism.
Just an introductory of the show.
In our community.
But up first is Kelly Rayburn with Tim Lewis on transit accessibility.
This is Access Television. I'm Kelly Rayburn, committed to people with disabilities and accessibilities. I'm here to talk about the TransLink fare gates and the HandyDart taxi service system. Since April, TransLink has closed all fare gates along the SkyTrain stations and C-Bus terminals while attendant is available. But what happens if there is no attendant when the fare gates are closed? Former Vancouver councillor Tim Lewis was delegated at the Vancouver quarterly meeting in March. and he's here to talk about the impacts on accessibilities. Tim Lewis is in his studio right now. Hi, Tim. How's it going?
Good afternoon, Kelly. Thank you very much for having me here today.
It's been a pleasure. There has been a lot of talk about issues on SkyTrain fare gates closed with no attendance. Can you explain what's happening with the fare gates and what's going on 5 years from now through TransLink?
Well, first of all, the problem, and then I'm very happy to tell you, the solution. Problem is that for folks with limited arm function, the need to tap the compass card to get into or out of public transit, it just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And so for folks like me, we were literally shut out of the system. Mm. I'm very pleased to let you know. I met with the TransLink CEO, Kevin Desmond. He's a breath of fresh air. And within a few days of that meeting, he committed $5 million to a technological fix. Mm-hmm. What they will be coming out with, not too far down the road, are new compass cards for folks that cannot tap. It will have a little chip in the card, an RFID chip, radio frequency ID. I won't need to remove the card from my pocket. Mm-hmm. There'll be a little radio frequency from that chip, and as I go by the station, it will pick it up and open up the gate.
You went through HandyDart and through the service that you rely on, a day-to-day service. Now, HandyDart is a service that you have to call in advance to pick you up or to pick other passengers in arrangements to their meetings or their doctor's appointments or that kind of situation. Now, I've been to some of the TransLink board meetings as well, and some of the wheelchair peoples were there on their concerns on the issue on HandyDart service and the Taxi Fare Savers service. What has the problem concerned on these issues?
Well, as you know, for 27 years, the HandyDart operator was North America's only co-op made up of HandyDart users. Mm-hmm. And so the HandyDart users were literally in the driver's seat. Mm-hmm. I'm sad to say that not all good things go on forever. Mm-hmm. And after 27 years, the co-op did not succeed in winning the bid. Mm-hmm. TransLink puts this service out to bid every year. A private, for-profit, American company won the bid. Users and workers at HandyDart are very unhappy mm-hmm. with this private, for-profit, American firm. Mm-hmm. That swooshing sound that you hear is approximately $5 million of profit leaving the region every year and fattening a Houston, Texas bank account. Mm-hmm. We say if that money was put to work here in the region, we could increase HandyDart levels at no cost to you, the taxpayer. Mm. Let's bring the service in-house, just like Coast Mountain.
Mm. What would you like to see more on accessibility on transit in the future?
Well, first of all, we need to raise HandyDart service levels mm-hmm. so that we can reduce what we call trip turndowns. Mm-hmm. When a person calls in, we can advance to request a ride, and the system is already booked up, that person is sentenced to house arrest for the day in question. So we're going to get those service levels up higher. Mm. We're going to keep working with positive people like Kevin Desmond to make technology our slave. Use technology to make the system fully accessible. We do those two things, and we're all winners. Mm.
I was speaking with Tim Lewis, the former councillor for the city of Vancouver, on an update on the bus pass program. Since September 1st, all service on through the bus pass program has been changed. As for myself, I have begun getting some money for $25 onto the PWD, which is the Persons with Disabilities bus pass program. And a lot of changes are on the way through the PWD.
So if you want more information about the bus pass program, you can give the ministry a call at 1-866-866-0800 for more detail on the bus pass program and the disability with assistant transportation. That is all for the access.
All right, so that was the Access Television segment on October 2016. I did an interview with Tim, and very good conversation with Tim, and it was really well, really good. I'm going to be back in a moment to play you TED Talks, and then we'll finish off with the show. All right, Ben?
All right.
All right, we will be back.
Don't touch that dial.
The Global Accessibility Awareness Day is on the third Thursday of May of every year. The community and campus stations across Canada are hosting inclusive radio about accessibility, self-advocacy, adapted technology, and more. Contact your local stations to find out more.
Now in its 16th year, Media Democracy Days brings together media makers, activists, and educators to celebrate independent media and social change. Media Democracy Days is happening this year at the Central Branch of the Vancouver Public Library on November 15th and 16th. The event includes a community radio takeover of the Inspiration Lab on the 15th and 16th at the Central Branch of the Vancouver Public Library, and a full day of hands-on workshops, discussions, and collaboratively determined events on November 19th at SFU Vancouver's Harbour Centre campus. This year's keynote speaker is Ryan McMahon of the Red Man Laughing podcast. The event is free to attend. Visit 2016.mediademocracydays.ca for a full program.
This music, reggae music, is tell the whole world, you know, telepathically and physically and mentally and spiritually, we are telling them to this music, yeah.
So you heard it here at Rocker Show 101.9 FM CITR, featuring yours truly, George Beard, keeping the reggae music alive on the west coast of Canada. It's all about roots rock, lovers rock, dancehall reggae music on CITR Rocker Show, Sunday noon to 3 p.m. each and every Sunday. Love of Jack. For over 25 years of doing it nice, warm, and easy. Until next time, such thank you to faith and spread it gently. Jah bless and Jah guide and Jah out. Bless out.
All right, you're tuning in to Community Living Show on NCRE Radio Networks, and of course on CITR 101.9 FM, our flagship station. We're going to play you close to a few more minutes on TED Talks, and TED Talks is the speaker named Carrie Margot, who's award-winning national speaker and best-selling author. Carrie has become a role model in disabled community, nonverbal at 2.5 and diagnosed with autism at 4. She has overcome countless obstacles to get where he is today from the TEDx Morristown stage. So this is TED Talks. If you want more information about TED Talks, go to the website TED.com/TEDx. And we're going to leave you with that. Thank you very much. And, of course, after that, we're going to play you Josie by Ben. Tell us about your song before we do anything
before
else.
We go?
Yeah.
This song is about a year old now, and I wrote this song almost a year. My brother just adopted a little girl about a year ago, and came from the birth parents up in good old Vernon, British Columbia. Mm-hmm. Two young teens, they're only like 16 years of age, and they got the birth mother got pregnant with the first child. And then she went back and had another child again, which is my other niece, Emily, and she's now 8 months old. Pretty soon I'll be writing a song about her. So I hope you guys love this song. If you guys want to hear more of my music, go to soundcloud.com/ Big Ben 2014-1. All my music is on there.
All right. And you can always check us out on our show, communityliving.radio@gmail.com. If you like what you hear, some of our future special speakers you want to talk to or anything like that, that's our email address, communityliving.radio@gmail.com.
And we're on Facebook as well. You guys can leave a message there as well on Facebook.
Yeah, we are on Facebook as well. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you all next week.
Bye-bye.
I want you to imagine something for a second. Imagine that you are unable to tell the people you care about the most in this world that you love them. Imagine a situation where you wouldn't even be able to tell your loved ones about your basic needs. Imagine not being able to tell your dad that you are hungry, or your mom that you are thirsty. For all intents and purposes, you are just there with no way of communicating with those around you. This used to be my reality. Most people that know me have no idea that I actually didn't speak until I was 2.5 years old. I grew up just like any other kid into a loving family and having a warm place to live. But when my parents realized that I didn't have any words, and for a while I didn't have any sounds, they began to worry about what my future would be. Thankfully, though, my parents became my biggest advocates. While people were telling my parents that, oh, he's a late bloomer, he'll grow out of it, they never took that advice. And because they never took that advice, from the next 18 months, they focused on what they could do to help me. Born and raised in New Jersey, they took me to see some of the best physicians, the best therapists, and the best people in our tri-state area. Until when I was 4, I was finally diagnosed with pervasive developmental disorder, not otherwise specified, a form of autism. My parents finally sighed a breath of relief. They finally knew what my diagnosis was and could help prepare for my future. One of the hardest things I think I hear in my profession today as an autism advocate is when I talk to a parent who says that their child was just diagnosed with autism. Not because that kid can't do amazing things in this world, but because of the uncertainty that autism can bring. My parents decided to get me focused on rigorous occupational, physical, and speech therapy, which I did for almost 15 years after I was diagnosed. Trust me, it wasn't easy. While a lot of my friends were making friends, getting into relationships as teenagers, and getting involved with after-school activities, I had IEP meetings and in-house therapist appointments to attend and doctor's appointments to attend to help with things like not being able to speak, having sensory overload, and having a wide range of difficulties that I can honestly say today, because I've been able to progress, they're no longer a weakness of mine, and many of them have become a strength. So this question of what happens to children with autism, when they become adults with autism, is what's happening today. Kids are growing up, such as myself, every single day on the autism spectrum, and we have to be ready for these kids. I can say, because looking at where I came from, I never thought any of this would be possible, let alone speaking on a TEDx stage. And now I give talks across the country as a national motivational speaker. I've written several best-selling books. I've consulted on several motion pictures. And I think, to some extent, most importantly, I've been able to prove the experts wrong. It wasn't always easy, but now I could say today that I'm here, and that's a great thing. So a few years ago, I was speaking at one of my very first autism conferences, and a parent came up to me who had a young son on the autism spectrum. The father must have been in his early 60s. And he came up to me with one question. And I was kind of stunned when he threw that question at me. The question was, what will happen to my child when I'm gone? This isn't something that only affects our autism community, but it affects every single one of us in this room. We're always thinking about, what will happen to my child when I'm gone? Will they have supports? Will they be able to progress, to live their dreams? And for me, this became the million-dollar question in our autism community. While this father was crying, asking me this question, while his son was just right there, nonverbal, couldn't really even understand the question, I thought to myself, this is why I do what I do here today. I do it because of people like that father. And because when these kids do become adults, I want to see them live the best lives possible and be able to go after their dreams, just like me, being able to give a TED Talk in front of all of you today.
Just a few months ago now, I was at my brother's place, and we were talking back and forth just to catch up on things. And his wife was saying they're 95% sure adopting a little baby girl. Oh, Josie, I love you, little girl, 'cause you are the sweetest thing I ever seen. The second time I saw you, you are smiling at me, and I saw your cute little dimples. Oh, Josie, I love you, little girl. Oh, Josie, I love you, little girl. Josie, I love you, little girl.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional